Welcome to What in the Smut podcast,
where the books are horny and so are we. I'm Elle.
And I'm Kay. So what do we have going on in the Smutverse this week?
So the New York Times published a spotlight on 831 Stories, a venture-backed romance publisher that only has 7 books on the market. One of the founders, Claire Mazur, is quoted as saying, "Romance is the only form of mainstream media that centers women's pleasure, joy, and desire. If we find success as a business by putting romance in the hands of more people, that's a beautiful thing." All of their books' covers look the same. Color-blocked pastel with rounded sans-serif font proclaiming the title, the author, and sometimes a quote from a reviewer. The idea, it seems, is to hide romance behind an inconspicuous cover in the hopes of drawing in more readers. And, per usual, the internet was split. The prevailing criticism being that we shouldn't have to hide romance at all, with an added dose of suspicion that venture firms are trying to cash in on the market that's been ridiculed for decades despite it carrying the industry.
I kind of agree with that side of things.
Right.
So I had mentioned that there's a brand new romance bookstore in Providence. So I had gone there a couple weeks back with my mom.
Yeah.
And this was the first time that she's really seeing a ton of romance books in one place. And she's like, "I don't love the new cover style because everything is that cartoon cover."
Yep.
It's all the like bright colors. And those cartoon covers were typically reserved for closed door romance a while back. So like now that more books are getting that same style, it's also giving people that are uncomfortable reading the open door or the smuttier books, they have to do a little more digging, or they could be surprised by something that maybe they're not comfortable with. And again, you need to have consent in your reading as well. So for something like that, with this new trend with book covers, it's kind of giving almost like a dub con for the reader if they're not looking for open door explicit scenes.
Yeah, I have spoken before, and we were on Jace's podcast a few weeks back, and like I talked about my toxic history as a not like other girls girl who did not get into romance until a little later in life. And I think I empathize with, to some extent, with the idea of kind of like you would with a dog, like wrapping a pill in like a piece of bacon or something and like getting them to consume something that will be good for them, but they wouldn't have otherwise consented to is funny to me. And I understand like wanting to maybe get past that. Maybe not the stigma of like people want to read romance, but people are embarrassed to be seen like with the Fabio cover, you know? and so like kind of like trying to capture that demographic of people who might not pick up your grocery store beach read, but would be willing to pick up a romance novel if it weren't so obviously a romance novel.
Yeah, not and the, like, I think, bodice ripper covers.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And so I think also that's why like Kindle is so good for the industry, because you can be reading anything and the only giveaway is your damn face. So get it under control, Elle.
But I was going to say, your only giveaway. I can read that shit with a straight face like I'm reading a recipe. Since sometimes I am.
I can see both sides of this, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. And no, I definitely can. I can see the tactic, but I don't love it.
I don't love that it's necessary or perceived as necessary. I don't love that it will work, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
All of which is to say, I don't think an inconspicuous cover could have hidden the spice of the book we read this week. Okay?
So this week we read Elfed by Ginger Kane. And the synopsis says, "When did Holly realize her salacious Secret Santa gift wasn't just a salacious Secret Santa gift? Probably about the same time an ancient fae sex god with a sticky sweet tongue and a candy-striped monster in his pants appeared on her sofa with one thing in mind. jingling her bells and filling her up with as much of his sticky sweet holiday cheer as possible. This cheeky 6,500-word short is book one in the Holly Getz fantasy erotica series and is full of hot, steamy sex with a monstrously enormous and festively feral fae whose tongue tastes just as sweet as it sounds. I mean,
where would you put it on our smut scale?
I think that this one is a 2. There's not really any, there's no DubCon.
No, there are only 2 participants. I mean, he does tire up at one point, but otherwise.
But I don't know, even that is kind of almost vanilla.
Almost, yeah.
And he ties her up with vanilla frosting, so there's that.
That's true, that's true.
I don't know, I'd give this one a 2.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So.
Are there trigger warnings? I don't remember if I saw trigger warnings for this book.
There's not in the book, no.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, we talked about it briefly. There's a little bit of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
12-inch penis.
Yeah, that should be called out at the top. Yeah. I don't know. He has too many arms.
Yeah, but is that a trigger or is
that
fantastic?
I don't know.
I feel like the past couple weeks, we've been so primed to have this huge grocery list of warnings that we're like digging for them right now. It's pretty straightforward. There's nothing too wild and crazy about
this.
Nope,
you're right.
This did have a 3.6 on Amazon and a 3.2 on Goodreads. A 3-star from Amazon says, was it just me or was he giving more Christmas demon than elf? And this is definitely more of the elf fae that you read in a...
like a romanticy.
Romanticy,
series,
than it is like thinking elf from like the Santa Claus.
Correct.
And a 5-star from Amazon says, give this woman a medal. Delicious, wild, and smutty short read. A candy cane dildo secret Santa gift turned into a magic fae with a candy cane striped dong that rotates and shoots icing cum. Need an extra hand? He's got that too. Ginger made the most unique fae man in 28 pages. And for that, she deserves a medal, a trophy, whatever. Maybe a candy cane dong for herself. What a queen. Loved this.
Frankly? I agree. A 4-star on Goodreads says, well, filthy elf smut, anyone? This was super short, super filthy, and kind of fun. I can honestly say I've never received a Secret Santa gift like that. I suddenly have a craving for candy canes and sugar cookies.
I've never received a Secret Santa gift like that, but I did one time during a Yankee swap open a Santa's Little Helper vibrator.
Incredible.
I didn't leave with it that night, but someone did.
Is a Yankee swap like a white elephant?
Kind of. Yeah. Same kind of thing. Maybe that's just like a New England thing. Typically, they're like you attempt to do a normal gift in a price range. So it's not usually the white elephant of a ridiculous gift.
I see.
But this just happened to make its way into the rotation that year.
Love it. Finally, a 1-star on Goodreads. Why do I do this to myself? In hindsight, perhaps a book about a horny elf trapped in a vibrator genie style wasn't the ideal first read of the day. I disagree.
What a way to start the day.
Right.
So as a reminder, we will be going through the full storyline here. If you're interested in reading before you take a listen, we do have links for the book in our show notes, and we will be right here waiting for you when you come back to hear what we have to say about it. And boy, do we have a lot to say, as always.
Okay. You want to get into it?
So yeah, let's get into it. We start on December 24th at 9:45 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was interesting to me because it seems like she just... So Holly is our main character, and it seems like she just came home from a Christmas party with people that were not family, which I don't understand. I mean, I'm sure that's the case with a lot of people, but I feel like Christmas Eve and Christmas Day aren't like a big outside of the family kind of thing.
Not usually this late, I feel like, but people have different holiday traditions and some people don't get on well with their families. So
that's a good point. It depends on Like if you're Italian, not a chance. Not a chance. Okay. Christmas Eve is like the big Italian holiday.
Okay.
It's like Feast of the Seven Fishes. There's like Christmas Eve is like a huge deal. So maybe that's just why, I don't know. It's always been a big family thing for me. So maybe that's why I was so thrown off by the fact that she's getting home at close to 10 o'clock and it says 3 hours. She'd endured 3 solid hours of unsolicited opinions regarding her non-existent sex life, sat through 3 hours of super unhelpful advice on the best way to get out of her sex slump and bang her supposed blues away, and the icing on the Christmas cookie, the goddamn Secret Santa gift everyone had thought was so funny. Now, the first two sentences could be with family.
Yeah.
However, we do kind of get that indication that it was not.
Yeah. Yeah. The moment it was like super unhelpful advice on the best way to get out of her sex slump, I was like, oh, I don't think I've ever had those conversations with family members.
Maybe cousins, but not like not an aunt or a grandmother or anything like that.
No. No, so she has gotten home. She throws her keys on the counter and misses, and they slide under the fridge. And she says, oh, elf me, which is funny to me.
Me too. Especially when we find out that this Secret Santa gift that she had gotten was an adorable rosy-cheeked little elf hugging the tip of a festive unicorn horn-shaped dildo. Interesting choice. So, and also we find out that nobody fessed up to the fact that they had gotten her that Secret Santa gift. Now,
yes,
there had to have been some people that know. So those are kind of shitty friends if they're giving her a gift that's going to like upset her.
Yeah.
And not fessing up to it when other people do know that whoever did it and are probably like laughing behind her back. That I didn't like very much.
It's also like, I don't know, we get the information that it said she'd been left to look around the sea of mostly familiar faces, dildo in hand, a tight smile on her face, and cheeks burning redder than Rudolph's nose. Like, it is kind of bizarre to me that you would, like, it's Secret Santa.
Yeah.
It's not like White Elephant. It's not like a Yankee Swap where it's like anyone could get this gift and it would be like a funny gag.
Right.
Like, and the whole joke is to like open it and be like, oh, ha ha, like what an insane thing to bring. It's like Secret Santa, someone drew her name and got this specifically for her.
Yes.
And she's opening it at a party where not everybody knows each other. The fact that there are strangers here just makes it that much weirder.
I agree.
So she's kind of reliving her humiliation and kind of thinking through her quote unquote friends. And she's like, my last relationship was a nightmare. Botched attempts at hooking up through apps like fucker, spelled like Grindr, F-C-K-R, is funny to me.
I was going to say like Tinder, but okay.
Tinder has the E.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, but for some reason, I thought that it didn't. That's funny, though. Yeah, no, you're right.
So she's thinking, maybe my friends are right. Maybe I do need to lower my standards. And like, I feel like we've all kind of had this moment, this thought. It's never a good idea.
No, I like the I know my worth, but sometimes I go on sale.
Yes. it's such a good line. But like the question will forever be like, it depends on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because for Holly, it seems that she very much just wants sex. Like, we'll get a couple references to not wanting strings attached, to a dry spell with regards to sex. And like, that's not the same thing as like being annoyed and being upset because you are single and you don't have a partner.
Yeah.
And so like, if all you're looking for is to get dicked down, I don't necessarily think that you should have particularly high standards. And as long as you're, you know, using protection.
Right. Absolutely. You can have standards, but also it's not particularly difficult to find what you're looking for if your standards are not like Harry Styles or something, you know, like... If all you're looking for sex, you should be able to find it.
Yes. But if you're looking for a partner, I wouldn't go about lowering your standards.
I agree.
She sits on her couch pulls off her jeans. She's just in her red and white striped panties and matching socks. An ironic and unfortunate choice. I don't know about that.
As somebody who sometimes chooses to match those things, I don't think that it's unfortunate. I probably would have done that on purpose.
On purpose, yeah. I don't
know. I'm wearing Christmas socks right now.
Oh, I should have.
You can't see them, but I did it for me.
And I respect that. And then she does what I think is the best part about living alone, is she pulls her bra off out from underneath her sweater and throws it across the room. It says, throwing it across the room with an excessive, if not satisfactory, amount of force.
Yeah.
Ideal.
Yeah, boob jail. Get them out of there.
Yeah. There's nothing like uncaging them at the end of the day. It's like you can take a deep breath for the first time.
Agreed. Especially if you're wearing hard pants on top of it.
Oh, I know, the worst.
Black jeans.
Devastating. The best thing that our society has done is make yoga pants look like real pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. And one of the good things that Gen Z has done is bring back the high-waisted and wide-legged.
Wide-legged, yeah.
Though I still struggle with my millennialness to wear them, I can appreciate the comfort for what it is.
For sure. I need somebody in Gen Z to tell me which shoes I'm allowed to wear with all of the pants that I have now, because I just feel like they all look stupid.
I'll loan out my cousin. I check all of my outfits with her.
Nice. Yeah. We just have a group chat of fit check for women in their 30s that, like, I am in my 30s. I'm not trying to look young. I just want to be fashionable.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
So she does say, despite what her judgy friends thought, she didn't think settling for solitude over mediocrity was settling at all. And
preach. Preach. That's not settling. I go on this rant with my friends many a time, but I maintain that, like, the reason why I feel so comfortable in my relationship is that I was single well into my mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
I got comfortable by myself. I like my company. And the thing that, like, I saw later, long after I met my fiance, somebody on, like, TikTok was talking about when I go on a date with a man and he asks, like, who's my competition? Your competition is me.
Yeah.
Your competition is whether I like being with you more than I like being alone. And that is a high fucking bar. And, like, I'm great. I don't fucking need anybody else. And so if I enjoy my time with you and don't come out of it thinking, like, I could have been on the couch with a book, like, that is what you're competing against. And so I am so on board with this, that, like, being alone is not settling.
Absolutely. And you need to like yourself before you can let anybody else like you also.
It's true. And, like, I know there's, like, a debate about that. I think it's less about, like, loving yourself. Like, you need to love yourself before anyone else can love you. Like, other people can teach you different ways to love yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have, like, a healthy amount of self-respect, you're going to end up in a situation where you're dependent on another person and can be more easily manipulated and taken advantage of. And you're going to mistake basic human decency for, like, an outpouring of love.
Yeah. And also, the bar has been set so low that, like, men aren't even meeting the basic human decency standards of it a lot of time. And not all men.
Not all men.
But a lot of them, unfortunately, which is why women are standing up to it. And there's a male loneliness epidemic because they're not finding their servants anymore.
Like, go be a full-ass human. You're not looking for a partner if that's what you're looking for.
And that's the problem, is a lot of people are not looking for a partner.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they have a misguided view of what partner actually means.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Anywho, we get to December 24th, 1111. Make a wish.
Make a wish.
And she looks, and the elf that she had put out on her kitchen counter is gone. And she had been drinking a glass of eggnog, which I've never had eggnog with alcohol in it, but I did buy a carton of vanilla eggnog from the supermarket the other day, and I love this time of year.
I was going to say, I've never had eggnog without alcohol. So she freezes. And one thing we haven't talked about yet is how good the writing is.
Yeah.
Like, and I do think it makes a world of difference in erotica where you have so little, like, real estate to work with. Like, because we're dealing with novellas, with short stories. And, like, the way that Ginger Kane just kind of, like, immediately sets you up with, like, a character that you can relate to, that you can understand, and put her in a very familiar kind of setting. And then immediately, this is a reasonable reaction. She is real and relatable. She notices that the elf that she set on the counter is gone and immediately, like, goes through the possibilities of, do I misremember where I placed it? No, I haven't had enough eggnog for that to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
It says there's no way she had misplaced it, which only left is someone in my apartment? The fine hairs on the back of her neck rose, a shiver running down her sternum between her lungs, stealing her breath. She set the box down slowly as the shaking in her hands increased, knees knocking together. Suddenly, every noise in her house was a creaking footstep, a rustling of fabric, an unsheathed knife. Like, it's so good.
It's good because it takes you on that journey of, like, where did that go? Wait, I didn't move that. Holy shit, I'm here by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
no.
So good.
And it's another one of those times where I was like, I did not think that this was going to go dark.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I was like, there is enough, like, fear here that I was like, oh no. But it ends up not being particularly dark.
So then she says, there weren't any dildo-stealing ninjas waiting behind her, just the cheery little elf sitting on the kitchen counter where her keys should have landed. Okay, but if you're here, then where's the... And the elf is gone again. Now, I like the... Throughout the book, we get that, like, almost explanation of magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not too much where I was like, okay, yeah, but, like, how did that happen? So, like, this part here, we're getting the inkling of the magic, but then throughout the rest of the story, there's always an explanation for what is happening and how, which I can appreciate because in the unbelievable, it makes you have to lessen your suspension of disbelief almost.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it fits into, one of the reviewers called it kind of like genie in a bottle. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it fits into enough of a paradigm of, like, your preconceived notions of fae, of magic with a time limit, of a character like this, and the fact that you're reading erotica. Like, it does a very good job of operating within a hidden existing framework so that you're not questioning the magic of it and are instead just kind of, like, sucked into the erotica of it, which I think works really, really well.
I agree. She does go a little bit Rapunzel on this elf and grabs a cast iron pan.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
I mean, it would be a good weapon if that's all you've got.
Yes. So now she looks and the elf is now on the couch next to her bra, which she had chucked her bra across the room. So that somehow made its way back. And the dildo.
Yes. So she thinks to herself, was the eggnog bad? And so then she goes and she sniffs the eggnog just to make sure, decides that that was fine, and says out loud, great, so I'm definitely losing it. Only to hear a silky voice from the living room say, don't be so hard on yourself, darling. The holidays tend to make everyone a little crazy.
At this point here, I was almost anticipating that we were going to get an almost like SPF me kind of situation.
Uh-huh.
Where I didn't realize that the elf, the toy elf, which was tiny, had turned into a full-size man. I had to reread it a couple times to get, like...
I flipped back and forth. I did the exact same thing. I was like, are we literally dealing with a tiny little guy? Just a little guy? Or, like... What's going on here?
So this creature was nothing like the little stuffed toy that had been sitting on her couch just moments before, like the other elves that decorated her apartment. So she has a growing elf collection, and we find out that, like, she's got that stuffed toy, but she's also got others that are decorating with her, the rest of her Christmas decorations. So we get a description. Holly bit her lip as she studied the hard line of his jaw, the coal black hair and eyes, the pale powdery blue of his muscular body, and the elongated pointed ears that were almost twice as long as his head. Whatever he wasn't human. She didn't need a user guide to figure that out. And much to her surprise, that knowledge excited her. So it's not what I was picturing for an elf.
No. But let's just put my nerdiness on full display here. But it feels like World of Warcraft elf.
Okay.
That's kind of the vibe.
Okay. Yep.
Especially the long ears. I feel like that's a very specific kind of elf. But yes, it does not evoke Christmas, I would say.
Yes. This is not
in
one of
Santa's
helpers.
No. But something I did like that I feel we did not get last week when we talked with Jace about Back for Seconds. It says something demanding sparked within her, a door suddenly open and leading the way to fantasies she hadn't even realized she had. It helped that his body was immaculate and she could see every inch naked as he was, long and lean, powerful, capable, coiled, ready to spring and devour her at a moment's notice. Like this idea that like she is flooded with the idea of fantasies she didn't even realize she had helps to kind of soften what in the other book felt like a sudden assault of like, oh, okay, now we're turned on. Yeah, by a bunch of strangers in the house versus like here, like there's magic. There's like an ineffable like feeling of like being drawn. Like I think it helps too that some of the lore around Fae is that they have like that manipulative kind of like magic that draws humans in and kind of like takes away their ability to say no. So I really feel like despite the fact that this ends up being like 35 pages, it says 46, but like it's like 35 pages worth of story here. It does not feel particularly rushed.
No, I agree. And it doesn't feel like we're getting that home invasion piece like we did with Back for Seconds. But also, it also is an interesting where she's got that door opening to fantasies she didn't even realize she had. It's almost the opposite of like having a fantasy and having it laid out in front of you and being like, oh no, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to like this, but I do not, you know?
Yes, totally.
I thought this was something I wanted to do, and I was very wrong. Like, it's different from that, you know?
Yes, completely. Oh, you're so right. So despite all of this, or maybe because of it, I don't know. We're going to get a description of this being's penis. Yeah. And I'm so tired of massive penises, but especially tired of massive penises made of sugar.
It's not made of sugar.
No, but it is sugary.
It smells and tastes sugary. So we do get the description that he has an enormous red and white striped cock bobbing between his legs. I just stuttered for a second there. Spiraled like the dildo had been, but clearly part of him, clearly hot and alive and eager as it pulsed and throbbed, thick white liquid seeping from its tip and running down its impossible girth in spiraling rivulets. Insane. The amount of pre-cum on this candy cane
so
dick is gigantic. It's like,
it's too much. Because like she's going to, we'll get there. We'll get there. But what was funny was that it says her mouth opened and then closed and then opened again before she finally found her voice. If I'm on the nice list this year, well, I don't think I will be for much longer. I love it.
I do too.
It's so good.
So we don't get a name for him an actual name.
We never get a name. I thought we were going to eventually get a name, but no, all we get is that he is Fae, technically, an erect licentious Fae, or ELF for short. Did you ever see the Santa Claus?
Yeah.
they call them the ELF.
Yeah.
The ones that fly around with the jetpacks are the ELF. And so I didn't like that he was just called the ELF.
That's
felt
true,
a little sacrilegious.
Also remind yourself that those elves, though they look young,
they've been alive for thousands of years. Yes.
I know.
But they still look like children.
Yes. I mean, they are played
by
children.
I am uncomfortable.
Yep. Uh-huh. Agreed. So he calls her darling.
I really liked darling.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
I think darling works.
I think it's okay. But like, it doesn't, I don't know.
It doesn't have the same like condescension that like good girl does. Like, darling feels like, you know what it feels like is Gomez Adams. Mm. It feels like Gomez Adams, like obsessed, like
okay.
Darling, like my darling. It feels like not just that you're an equal, but that like there is like
cherished
affection. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. See, I think that anything can be, because you said doesn't have the condescension. I think that is a tone, though. Like,
I agree that it's a tone. And it's also, like, to be clear, this is a me problem with the good girl. Like,
it's recognize funny
that it's
because
not
there's so many that are in that same ballpark that you like so much more, but they're still so intertwined.
Oh, I know.
Interesting.
But I really liked darling. I thought darling worked.
It was just okay for me.
I think it works with the character. I feel like darling too is kind of an archaic term.
Yep.
That is more like 1950s film kind of vibe.
Darling.
And yeah, like you would address a femme fatale as darling, you know, like it's got like some old timey vibes that I feel fit with the idea of an ancient magical creature who's kind of like from another era, from another world.
Yeah. Okay. So he tells her that she spoke his magic words, and she's like, what are you talking about? And he says, elf me.
Uh-huh. Which is hilarious. But this is where we started to go off the rails for me.
Mm-hmm.
One deep breath and then another, taking in her scent, breathing out heavily, hot clouds kissing her cheeks, and Holly moaned, eyes fluttering closed, wanting to melt into the spicy sweetness of him, to taste it on her tongue. This is working. I was like, hell yeah, we're going for it.
And then the next sentence brings it to a screeching halt for you?
A little bit. It's only gonna get worse, too. I don't know how I feel about this. Her breath hitched as his massive cock began to spin, literally spin, and throb against her.
Yep.
It's spinning.
Yeah. I don't think
how.
It's like, it's not helicopter spinning.
No, it's like.
It's spinning like a
barber
drill.
Barber pole. It's like, yes, like a drill. I was thinking of a barber pole because it's
red and white.
Red and white candy striped.
That's fair.
He's literally going to drill into her.
Yeah. He is. So it kind of made me think there was a period of time where like sex toy parties were a thing. There was like a company that like sold, and they would do almost like a Tupperware party, but they would come to your house. So, but
I remember all MLMs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But I remember like being at one of those, and one of the dildos that she pulled out had like beads inside of it almost that rotated around.
Like a massager kind of? So like.
Yes, kind
like
of.
Like it would be like inside of it.
But it was like a. Uh-huh. Yeah, just like that. But it was like small beads, and it was almost like a bunch of them, but they would spin kind of up like that. So
interesting.
I feel like because I had that as something to base off of this, that it didn't bother me quite as much.
Yeah. I guess,
in fact, I was like,
that.
Okay, show me what that do, you know?
What that spinning cock do. Oh, man. Okay. Okay. So we have a spinning cock, and then something warm and sticky and yep. wet dragged mm-hmm. along the shell of her ear. His ribbed tongue. Ribbed, I'm on board with. Why is it sticky?
Yeah.
And we're gonna lean into the fact that it's sticky. Is over it sticky? And over and over again.
Is it sticky because of the ribbing changes something to do with the surface tension? I'm going to go with that. Like, you know, like a...
Yeah. It's like why your fingers get all wrinkly when they're wet is to help make you be able to hold on to surfaces.
Okay. I was thinking more like a chameleon tongue. Oh, it's sticky. But I don't think that it's actually like sticky. I think it's just whatever it's made out of. I don't know. I was on board for the ribbed tongue.
I'm on board for a ribbed tongue. I don't like that we are going to heavily lean into sticky.
So we do get the red and white spirals throbbed and pulsed as he slipped it under the hem of her sweater and dragged it across her stomach, leaving a thick white trail of what smelled impossibly like vanilla frosting, making her mouth water. Now,
dear listeners. I received a text this week with no context.
You didn't need the context. You knew exactly what it was.
I did. I knew exactly what I was dealing with when I received a text that just said, vanilla frosting cum is a million times better than peppermint.
And if you listen to last week's episode, you'll know exactly why I thought that. And it was right after I read that sentence, I put my book down and I picked up my phone and I opened up my text and I said, I need to tell this to Elle right this second. But again, way better than peppermint for the short term. Either way, long term, we know how we feel about things that are not supposed to go up there. But yeah. For the short term of what it is, peppermint versus vanilla, peppermint oils are no good down there.
No. So, for the record, neither is vanilla frosting.
That's true. It's not going to burn immediately.
It's not going to immediately burn. The truth of your mistakes will take a while to manifest.
It'll burn in a couple days, but not right away.
Anyway.
So he does tell her that if she says the word elf followed by the word off, that he's gone. And she's like, so like a safe word or a safe phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to her, which kind of makes it a little dark again.
A little. Yeah.
Can a human ever truly be safe amongst the Fae? He smiled wickedly, clearly enjoying the way she squirmed. The words are a way for you to retain that one bit of control once you relinquish yourself to me, should you choose. But be warned, words cannot be recalled once spoken, and bonds with the Fae are not easily broken.
A nice little rhyming line that feels very ominous.
Yeah.
Because she says, well, that's reassuring. And also not. But yes, we do. So we do get like he doubles down and says the choice is yours and the power too. Do you give yourself over to me completely? And like, we will say this until the cows come home. Books like this are not a how-to guide on how to do kink.
Yep.
You should negotiate exactly what you're signing up for upfront. It should not be a surprise. However, in erotica, I think this works in like an anticipatory, sexy fashion.
And also, I mean, she met him 5 minutes ago. It's not safe to
no.
give yourself over completely to someone that you just met.
Also, don't make deals with Faye. Like, I feel like we as a species should be aware that we should not make deals with the Faye. Just... there's a whole host of lore about why you shouldn't dabble with promising.
And
Fae.
I mean, lore comes from something.
Yeah.
This is totally a rabbit hole that we could go much further down. But like all of these separate pieces of lore that all kind of are interconnected.
Yeah.
They came from somewhere. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So she does say yes, that she wants to give herself over to him completely, but
yes,
it had to be a trick of the light, but the striped spirals look to be swirling, twisting hypnotically and drawing her in. So is he's like dickmatizing her quite literally.
He is quite literally dickmatizing her. Yes. Like, absolutely.
Also, now he's got claws.
Yes. It says, his fingertips elongated, now deadly sharp claws. He sliced through the front of her sweater before retracting them, smiling at the sight of her bare breasts and shocked expression.
Don't ruin my clothes.
No.
Especially not without asking first.
Especially, like, I don't know, like a holiday sweater, you have that in the backlog so that you've always got something like ready for an occasion. And usually it's like slightly more expensive, I feel like,
yeah,
for what it is. This is just rude.
I mean, I don't think that the Fae are typically in the market for polite behavior, but...
You make an excellent point.
So he tells her to say it again, and she says, elf me.
Yeah.
But before she says that, this I didn't love. So thoughts okay. became distant things as his bare chest pressed against hers, his enormous cock swirling between them. He forced it between her clenched thighs, and she cried out.
Yeah.
All the spinning and rubbing against her sensitive clit through her soaked panties was bringing her closer to the edge and closer still as he nibbled and kissed along her ear. It was the wording I didn't like.
The forced?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
Like, I agree.
Because the rest of it after that was great.
Yeah, it all works.
But forcing it between her thighs and she cried out, I didn't love it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Okay, so this is where we get a doubling down. A low growl rumbled deep in his chest as the strange fairy dropped her wrists and fisted his hands in her hair, claws retracting as he plundered her mouth with that tongue. So warm and slick and sticky sweet. Tasting of cloves and oranges, and all Holly could think was that she wanted more, needed more. Her torn sweater fell to the ground as he teased her nipples. They were taut and aching just like the rest of her, and so very, very sticky.
Why are her nipples sticky?
I don't know. Did he lick her nipples? And then, because then it says he hissed and devoured her mouth again. So it sounds like he went to... teasing her nipples with his mouth and then made them sticky and then came back to her mouth.
Maybe. You really hate that his...
His saliva's sticky. Why?
Yeah.
It's not necessary. No. I would have been so on board.
Also, I don't love the cloves and oranges. I feel like I would have liked, like, I don't know.
Apple, maybe?
Oranges and cranberries or, like, cinnamon. I don't know. I don't like cloves particularly, so maybe that's why.
Cloves are, like, the most Christmassy. Interesting.
I like cinnamon better than cloves.
Okay. To each her own Christmas spice, I suppose. So this is where we discover that he has grown more arms.
Yes, he has 6 appendages now. No, this
is funny.
7 appendages.
Well,
6 arms.
Yes, yeah. Four more arms, 6 arms, which means technically that he has 9 appendages because legs are also appendages. But I digress.
Okay, fair.
It is very funny, though, because it says fingers digging into her thighs and gripping her hips and pressing against the small of her back. Did he grow more arms? And so I feel like it was kind of a funny nod to, like, what we would call, like, a level 5 on the smut scale of, like, not understanding how the logistics are working. How are his hands here, there, everywhere? And,
yep.
Like, Ginger Kane just leaned into it and was like, yes, reader. He has 6 hands with which to focus his attentions. Like,
which is fantastic. And also, like, why I had said she gives an explanation.
Yeah.
But in a way that's not just like, I don't know, not just that telling explanation. Like, it's incorporated well into the story.
The heroine notices it as you're noticing it and questions what you're questioning and then, like, sees the answer to the question that you have. It's very well done. I don't know why Ginger Kane's so good at this, but this is, like, I'm very impressed by how on board I was.
Yeah, me too. So his eyes start to glow red and green, which would freak me out.
Me too.
A little bit.
She's on board.
And then he says, I'm going to fuck you with my tongue now, darling. And
excellent.
Then realizes that he's got lots of teeth, sharp teeth.
Oh, I was like, did I miss that he has lots of teeth? And it just says that he has sharp teeth.
I mean, I guess once you use the word sharp, it becomes lots. Because if there's more than one sharp thing, that's a lot.
Oh, you know what? I'll give you that.
But again, once the ridge, sticky heat of his tongue delved inside her, she found herself unable to care about the specifics of who, what, where, when, why, and how, as her shrieks melted into strangled whimpers. Suddenly, she's not leaning against the wall anymore. She's on her bed. So they kind of get, like, transported a little bit. Either that or he's got this, like, super speed, like, Edward Cullen style.
He continued plunging his tongue in and out of her, thrusting and licking and swirling his sticky saliva, leaving her hot and shivering as he brought her closer and closer to the edge. Ginger, I'm begging you, it didn't have to be sticky. I do not particularly like her pillow talk, though. I'm so close. Oh, fuck. How are you doing this? Fuck.
I mean, I don't know. Relatable.
It's all one line. There's no, like, insertion.
There's commas.
Barely. I want, like, I'm so close. She gasped as another flick of his tongue sent her closer to the edge. Oh, fuck. Like, break it up. It's just, like, plopped here in the middle of all of this amazing description and just serves to kind of put the brakes on just a little bit.
It didn't bother me at all. So we do get that his tongue is able to expand.
Yes.
He was everywhere inside of her, his tongue expanding impossibly and curling and flicking as it filled her up completely wall to wall. He continued circling around her throbbing clit, all the while slow, lazy circles, so sticky and rough, so much sticky.
You see?
As the inhuman ridges of his tongue began to vibrate. Man.
I mean, I'm on board with all of this except that it's sticky.
He makes her come. All she could do was moan and whimper as he rubbed his face all over her swollen pussy, gently lapping and sucking and slurping.
She should have been weirded out by it, should have protested, but Holly was beyond caring about what was normal and what was weird. I mean, I get it.
Orgasm haze. It's...
yeah. It'll excuse a lot.
So now it is December 25th, 2:13 a.m. So it's been about 3 hours since he appeared. And she wakes up in the middle of her bed and thinks, is he gone? And as soon as she thinks it, there he was beside her. She asks how long she was asleep and then figures out that she can't move.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like that.
So moving her body was just too difficult, like moving through thick snow. He says, you weren't asleep long and you can't move because I'm holding you in place. Again, this is something that should have been communicated before.
Yes, correct. Like the amount of terror I would feel if a one-night stand tied me up while I was asleep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Absolutely the fuck not.
Excellent point.
But we are kind of, like we kind of said, like we're using magic and we're using like this fae creature. And frankly, like she is so on board with it. Like all of her thoughts are kind of like, oh, like I'm here for it. I can see these shimmering strips of gauzy frost holding me firmly in place. Like she's like excited by it. And so it doesn't like immediately feel problematic, but for your own safety, please make sure you're communicating.
So she says, this is you, the gauzy strips that are warm to the touch and scented like peppermint and chocolate. That sounds great. And he says, oh, yes, darling, tonight you'll take all of me. The elf rested two arms behind his head as candy-striped horns sprouted from his temples, curving up and around like a ram. Give me those handlebars.
Hell yeah.
But also, he didn't have those when it could have been useful.
I know. We should have started with the handlebars. Because that's what you want, is something to grip onto while he's going down.
Right.
That's ideal.
Exactly. So he uses some of his magic, and with a lazy flick of his wrist, she's facing him on all fours, the swirling length of him swelling as he continued to stroke himself roughly. He tells her that he hasn't been unleashed for 100 years,
yes.
And he's been passed around unwanted and unsatisfied.
So he is bound to that gift. Yeah. Yeah.
So had she not said, which also somebody gave her a used dildo. That makes it so much worse.
Like, dump these friends immediately. That is uncalled for.
So now he says, now come here and let me fuck your mouth, darling. The word darling doesn't make that better.
No, it doesn't.
And then Holly licked her lips, feeling a little bit feral herself as she crawled forward, eyes locked with his until the candy cane cock was less than an inch from her lips. A glob of his thick white cum dribbled from the tip, waiting just for her. I mean, this is like so much pre-cum.
Yeah.
So much.
And it's going to get worse.
Yes. She slips his dick into her mouth. And then we get, she waited to feel that tightness in her jaw, the stretch of her lips, but it never came. She'd already swallowed half of his cock. Now remember, 12 inches. So we're already 6 inches down. Could feel the rounded tip swirling in the back of her throat, which she now realized should have been impossible. Her mouth was already open very wide, much wider than it should have been capable of accomplishing, since he was wielding 12 inches of hot, swirling fairy cock, and the base of his shaft was as thick around as a baseball bat.
Get me the fuck out of here. I don't care, like, what kind of fey magic he is.
That is
wielding.
A can't fit your hand around it.
Yes.
That is can't fit your hand around it. A baseball bat?
He turned her into an anaconda. She had to literally unhinge her jaw.
My anaconda, don't.
Absolutely not.
And he asks if she's enjoying the holiday cheer. Again, darling.
No. So this. She felt her throat bulge, the laws of physics and anatomy clear out the window as she gagged and swallowed, that thick icing easing his way and singing on her tongue, in her throat, vanilla and bourbon and shortbread.
I mean, the taste keeps getting better.
Indeed. But how is there so much of it? Because he says, as much as I'd like to fill your mouth, watch you try to choke it all down, I'm not done with you. He hadn't come. Why is she, like, choking on so much liquid? There's not enough pre-cum in a... It's too much.
Monster pre-cum. Monsters. They're not like us.
You're right. You're right. I did not like her throat snapped back into place like a rubber band as he withdrew.
No, thank
Fuck
you.
Fuck that.
He also seems to have had some of whatever he was using to tie her down, he was using to thrust into her.
Oh, yeah.
Expanding and curving and curling in all the right spots at just the right angles.
She asks, why not both? Why he won't come in her mouth and fuck her? And he says, because, darling, much like Christmas, I only come once a year. Part of the spell, I'm afraid.
Fantastic.
Funny. I'm amazed by how much I love it.
So I also, she says, so once you're sated, you disappear. You can't come back until next Christmas. And he says, an unfamiliar sensation, being missed before I'm even gone. I rather like it. But don't be too sad, darling. There's always next year. Which was kind of sweet. Because, I know that feeling of, like, missing somebody while you're still with them, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, she's a brilliant writer.
Yeah. No, this is, it's amazing.
Because, like, despite the fact that we've got this twisting candy cane cock,
and
she's
a sticky tongue,
me feel things.
Yeah. She's like, I don't know how I'm going to settle for anything other than this, than you. And he draws the back of his hand down her cheek and says, think of it no longer. Let me have you have this before I'm leashed once more. Like, this is so well done in such a short span of time. I can't believe I'm on board.
So she starts thinking to herself, 2 years of no desire to get into anything serious, to feel anything serious, crumbling away for a holiday fey with benefits.
Yeah.
She's starting to catch feelings for him and then realizes that part of that is starting to catch lust.
Yes.
So there's one part. that. I felt this in my soul.
Go on.
This sex slump had been hard. At times, it had even left her feeling hopeless. But this was what she needed. Not another mediocre man, a monster. And I was like, fuck yeah. Amen.
Incredible. So he licked and nipped and nuzzled at her lips, her collarbone, her neck. His lips were on her ear, his breath hot and sweet and sending shivers down her spine as all four of his free hands were on her, flipping her onto her hands and knees, squeezing her tits and gripping her hips, positioning them so his twisting cock was swirling against her dripping, desperate slit, the tip pressing in. So he says, "Fuck yourself with me when I'm gone. I'll feel it in a way. Torture me with the slick of your delicious cunt all year long. And when Yule starts anew, I'll be waiting for you, darling. Waiting for this." It's great.
So now remember this 12-incher.
Yeah.
That's as thick as a baseball bat at the base.
I had kind of blissfully forgotten about that.
Nope. I won't let you. Nothing could have prepared her for the sensation of him driving that thick swirling cock inside of her. All of it, all 12 inches, right to the hilt. He held her in place, held himself there, head thrown back as he growled low and long and lusty. The twisting increasing in speed. Those tendrils of magical energy released from his chest once more, converging and condensing and circling around her clit. To the hilt,
so
12
much.
Inches.
No.
And we don't really get that, like, the magical piece of it like it did with her throat.
Yeah.
We
I think maybe we're supposed to just assume.
I'm going to have to because.
Oh, God. I must have missed this on the first read. He stood on the bed, pulling her up with him, gripping her hips and waist and tits as he drilled into her again and again, his spiraling shaft so thick, plunging into her so deep that she could see it bulge in her abdomen when she looked down over and over.
Yeah. He
that is
rearranging
horrifying.
Her guts.
Literally. That is
rearranging
horrifying.
Her guts.
I can't. No, absolutely the fuck not.
So this is where she reached behind her head to grab his horns, neck stretching back to capture his lips and hers again, knowing he was close and needing to taste him just once more. He cupped the sides of her face, deepening her kiss until her mouth was full of his tongue. That sounds like a lot of tongue. And then he comes and it says she could taste the cloying sweetness in the back of her throat as it filled her, assaulting her senses. And then it was gushing out of her, gushing around him, both of them crusting and breaking as she clenched and quaked around him, tears streaking down her face as his spiraling slowed and she was overwhelmed by the warm, comforting scent of cookies fresh from the oven.
It is quite the description.
But we know I love a full sensory experience. I don't know. So just as suddenly as he appeared, he was gone. Because as soon as he came, he turned back into a dildo / stuffed elf.
We're going to get one last fucking doubling down. Holly smiled back at the little elf, grabbing the dildo with sticky fingers, ready to keep her promise.
However, at least that's a reasonable stickiness. If she just had a ton of cum all over the place.
Oh, yeah, I know. But like,
it's not like
I didn't need one last reminder that it was sticky. I just didn't.
But that's the only one that actually kind of made sense.
Yeah. Fine.
And that's where we end.
That is where we end. How would you rate this one?
I actually really enjoyed this one. It had some of those darker elements, but it also was a lot of fun. I think I'm going to give this one a 4. Yeah. What about you?
I am so tempted to knock off points because it was sticky. But I think it's coming in at a 5.
Wow. Whoa. I'm going to bump mine up to a 4.5 then. Wow. No, this one definitely gave us more of what we started off with.
Yeah.
With the podcast.
Yes. It works for me. Like, the writing is so good. We have a monster that is creative. It is different. It plays into some pieces of lore to its advantage. I feel like the descriptions, like, I didn't want to feel sticky, but there is no world in which I could criticize it for not making me feel these sensations and these orgasms. It works. It works. I think it's incredible. I think it's great erotica. And I think Ginger Kane is a great writer.
I agree. I agree. Give that woman a medal, right?
Yeah. I also really liked the note at the end. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
The note from Ginger says, I hope you enjoyed the short that started my monster dong smut empire. Or at least what I hope to be the short that started my monster dong empire. As the old saying goes, if you write it, they will come. XOXO Ginger. It's so good.
It was good.
So time for my favorite part. Who did you cast?
So this kind of had dark-ish vibes.
Sure.
Holly, again, two books in a row where the name was Holly.
I know.
So for Holly, I chose Kristen Stewart.
Ooh, I love this.
Brunette,
I like this
Kristen Stewart, to be clear. So like peak Twilight era Kristen Stewart. I feel like she gives off that like a little bit awkward. She's a lot of bit awkward. She's like, she's super awkward. But the character was a little bit awkward, kind of going through something, a little bit embarrassed about it, giving that those awkward vibes. But also, like, I don't know, I could picture her being
absolutely
Holly.
Also, we know that she plays a character thrust into a supernatural world and falling for a guy she shouldn't, like, pretty straight. She does a good job with it.
Also, pretty immediately.
Yeah.
And
I like
I'm pretty
bit.
Sure she also says in the book, what are you? So there's that too.
Yep.
And then Elf, who we don't get an actual name. I played more into the dark and broody kind of description and went with Ed Westwick.
This is a great choice.
His Gossip Girl character, I think, is really what kind of sealed the deal for him, for
of
me,
course.
For this one. But yeah, Ed Westwick is my elf pick.
I love it. I think this is perfect.
So what are we reading next week?
I'm so excited. Next week, we are reading Tinsel and Tentacles by Kate McDerris.
We haven't had tentacles in a while.
I know, which is frankly criminal given how this whole idea came to be and what our smut scale is made of. So yes. I'm excited to return to our roots.
So am I. And this one, I believe it looks to be a male, male, female. So we're going to get some tentacles. Hopefully we'll get some threesome in there. And
let's go.
Bring it on.
Happy holidays to us.
But if you've made it this far, we appreciate you. Please like, follow on social media, follow, subscribe on wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell your friends, leave us a review. And with that,
we're at our wit's end.
We'll see you next time.
Was that as good for you as it was for me? You have been listening to the What in the Smut podcast with Elle.